Hello and welcome to the Mountain Deer Podcast. I'm Rodney Elmer. I am in New Hampshire camp with Taylor.
How's it going?
And Cocoa Buff.
How you doing?
Finally have the Puff here at camp with us. Yeah. Last couple days have been nice.
What do you think of the new place, Jimmy?
A little small.
This deer camp definitely has different qualities.
Yes, it's not what we're used to. But, I mean, hey, it's working. And it's in a decent area, you know, and for the price, it ain't bad. We're just renting it for the week, so.
Yep. It's, there's just a few too many knickknacks.
You're not a knickknack guy?
I'm not a knickknack camp guy. I like the shelf to be full with something valuable. When I want to put my camera down, I'd like to put it on a shelf.
Dad's idea of interior design is an empty box. He says potential is what I want.
Well, when it's already full of stuff and you got no place to put your stuff, and we have so much stuff.
We do. We travel way too much.
The other thing is, like, a deer camp has to have a gun rack.
It would be nice.
And a game pole?
A game pole is optional.
That's
more than a gun rack. I want some place to put our guns. Like, you have to lean it up against the nice painting on the wall.
There's no coat rack
on the
either.
Floor.
There's not even a coat rack.
There's no place to dry your stuff.
Yep.
There's no place to hang your stuff up.
Yeah.
Because the closets are all full. There's just like, it's just, I would have it different.
Hey, I had to find something last minute, and I found it, and it's a decent price.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, other than that, it's fine.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have the, you know, cupboards full of all the utensils and all the stuff you need.
Yes. It's got everything you need and stuff you don't.
Walking around in the woods and smelling like perfume is kind of different.
Right. Yeah, they got a whole bunch of these scent plugged in things, which really, you know, for a deer camp, it's not the greatest idea.
We're still finding them plugged in. They're hidden everywhere.
We probably unplugged six of them things.
But
it's just some qualities that you just a deer camp has to have, you know, some good sleeping area of some kind. And
the bed setup isn't bad. The bunk beds isn't that bad. And it's not like they're super uncomfortable or anything. So that's been fine.
Yeah, the beds are.
The internet's great. The internet's great for uploading stuff. It's better than than the camp we stay at Maine.
Right.
I can actually do something with it.
Yeah. You know, most buildings in these days, we need sockets like crazy. You know, all your electrical sockets, like, when you got to search them out and there's one of them and the cover falls off and you're trying to plug in 16 radios and 45 camera batteries and all that other stuff.
The thing is, we can't, like, really complain because it's like we need to buy a camp or we need to build a camp.
Right.
And it's like at some point we just have to kind of just go in and go for it. That way we can have something that's set up the way we like it, because this is how somebody else likes their stuff, and they're just letting us borrow it, you know.
And
in all of the camps we've ever used, they've never been like perfect for what we do, because it's not ours. So that's one of the things that we want to do, you know, in the next 5 years or so, is like we want to find a good spot, build a nice camp, and, you know, just have it set up for what we do and have the space, because we also travel with people too, like you know, we have like 6-7 people that, you know, come and go and whatnot, and that's just apart from the three of us. You know, it's mostly the three of us and like maybe Ryan and like Casey, and then, you know, maybe 5-6 other people that come and go. We got friends and family that want to go out and hunt with us and, you know, stomp around the brush. So at some point we'll have to pull the trigger and just go for it, and that will alleviate a lot of like having to bring so much stuff, because you could just keep stuff. Like if you had a camp that had like some boot dryers and had a wood stove, like now you can dry things and, you know, we could just do it. We'll have Jimmy saw the lumber for it.
I can do that.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We could throw that thing up in 5 seconds.
The other thing is like muzzleloader and rifle. That doubles your guns, doubles your stuff you're bringing.
Yep.
Yeah, because, well, we're not, we didn't just come here just for muzzle and then we're headed back. Like, this is basically a pit stop between us and the regular rifle season in Maine that we're there for a month. So, like, you pack stuff for a month, and we had to pack extra stuff for muzzle, so.
Yeah, got a lot going on.
If we had our own camp, we could have, there's stuff that we could leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We wouldn't need to bring so much.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, that'll be something we'll fix shortly, but, you know, as far as, it's worked for us, that's not really the thing that we've been spending the most time at anyway. We've been stomping around the woods. The buck sign has been a little sparse here and there, and I honestly think it's a little early and they're not really up and really circulating. I think it's just too early.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like even the trees are still kind of holding on, and the leaves and everything's real green still, you know. And it's like, for being the beginning of November, it's like, this is strange. But it's not like we've had a regular year for weather anyway.
No, not at all. And I think between the rain erasing all of the sign for the last month and a half, you know, we're in a new area, never done any scouting, don't have any cameras, don't do any of that stuff, and just literally pick up your gun, get in the rig, drive out, and start hunting, and then just do it all completely off the fly is not an easy thing. And of course, the time it takes to figure stuff out,
especially when you're three guys, you know.
Yeah.
For actually, really not even then, because yesterday I wasn't here. I had to run back to Southern Maine for the day. So we've only had a day where all three of us were in the woods. Like, we've only had that twice.
Yeah.
In almost a week of hunting. So it's like the amount of time it takes to really learn a giant area like we're hunting in right now,
mm-hmm.
it takes a horrendous amount of time. You just think about like how long it's taken us to really get a handle on, you know, just one zone in Maine, like a tenth of a zone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the area that we normally hunt in, we have spent some serious hours tearing the woods apart, walking and putting the boots on and maps and really working at it. And like years, you've been going up there 30 years,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's like to come in here at this time in the season with no snow, with everything, and just trying to do it the way we're doing it, we're going about this in a not easy way.
Jimmy's walked some miles.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you were like 7 miles, right? When we were down,
something like that.
Yeah, we were down in that other section of National Forest 2 days ago. You know, I think he went 7 miles. You went 8.
Yeah, it was like eight or just over
8 something.
Yeah, it was like 8-9. I think.
Yeah,
is what it said.
I probably walked the least that day.
Well, you guys still, saw more.
Still, we put on, you know, probably, you know, 20 miles, and you get three guys to circle 20 miles within a four or five square mile area, you know, where we walked out around and went over each other and around and through, and we really worked that chunk of woods over,
oh, yeah.
you know, 4 or 5 square miles there that we got right after it. And to work that piece of woods and to fairly well understand it fairly well, and if there was anything big kicking around, you know, I think we'd have come across some tracks or we'd have seen something. And it just, you know, wasn't a great lot there, but it goes to show that that's a lot of digging, and that kind of information is so expensive.
Definitely.
It's hard on the knees.
Yeah, especially when you get a sore one.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard on all that walking.
Yep.
And I know the early part of the season is kind of tune up game, get your legs going and get going. And once in a while you get lucky and you get that early snow, which, you know, a lot of guys are lucky enough to have.
Or that early buck.
Right, and then also too, you'll get that crappy snow right after it, where it's freezing,
crunch.
And it was crunch, and yeah, no matter what, crunch is crunch.
A lot of people in Maine were saying that they got it wasn't that first bit was great, but shortly after it was just straight crunch. Once it heated up and then froze at night, it was really rough.
And then the wind and everything went quiet.
Yep, yeah, the wind is shut off. We've had like a slight breeze the last couple of days, but like the big wind is gone.
Yep.
And we see a bunch of birds.
Yeah.
You know, some birds.
We're coming into them more, I think, just because we're also covering lots of ground in this three of us, so we're running into to partridge a bit more.
They've been in kind of groups a little bit. You know, 2, 3, 4 of them, 5 of them together.
No moose, though. We have seen no moose since day one.
I have not seen a moose.
And, like,
I've been expecting to.
Yeah, me too.
There's a sign, but haven't seen one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but so it's like we're kind of just, you know, trying to match the type of woods with the exposure of the hills, with the size and the elevation and all that. It's mm-hmm. so far, from what Jimmy has seen today and from what you and I saw a few days ago, it seems like all of the deer are on the southern exposure in the hardwoods, just chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we're seeing lots of sign in low to mid elevation, like down in by brooks and down in where it's green and then any of the little fingers and any of the little you know, topography changes that come up out of the bottom that have any like little paths on them or any skid trails, those are getting hammered with scrapes, but there's no like real movement, and they all seem a little bit old. You know, mm-hmm. I haven't, well, you and I saw one like really fresh rub and one really fresh scrape, but yeah. That's it. Everything else has like an old look to it. Maybe is it the weather, you think, or is it just that this is all just older sign that we're seeing?
I don't know. It's getting frosted every night.
Right. It's funny that we're seeing all kinds of scrapes, but no horn hookings.
Yeah. We're seeing way more scrapes than we're seeing rubs.
Right. Yeah. And in places too, I'm not seeing any old rubs. You know, a lot of our haunts up in Maine, we see a lot of old rubs all the time. Right. And we're not seeing them here at all. Just not seeing any of that, which is kind of a little off, I think. It's weird, but I don't think there's a great lot of deer. There's not a lot of deer, not in this area.
No.
No.
There ain't very many. You know, but that's looks are deceiving.
And we say that a lot in Maine. Yep. So, like, this beginning section, the first like week, especially when the season's a little early, you know, you spend all this time wandering, stomping brush, you'll see a little bit of tracks or whatever, and you're like, there's no deer. And then like your second, the end of the second week, when you have snow and things are happening, there's tracks everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you're like, where'd all these deer come from? It's mm-hmm. just they're just not circulating right now. They're just not moving. Plus, it's so easy to blend in with older tracks right now. Because you get this big heavy rain that flattens everything kind of out, and then it gets fluffed up when it dries, and you can just walk right across it and not even see my own tracks. Like, I'll walk up, turn around, and I don't even see my tracks.
Yeah.
And you're like, they could be walking right all over the place, and we're just kind of going around them, you know? And Jimmy had proof of that today.
Yeah, I saw one tail, and another one blew at me. They both blew at me, but...
Yep.
You don't get a lot of really heavy blowing like that. They don't do that anymore.
With snow, you can check it out and see what's going on and follow them. But
right, yeah, this wasn't a day.
And they didn't make hardly any tracks. You couldn't follow them very far.
Yeah, yeah. That one big one that we got in there yesterday and started exploring that new spot there and came right onto a whole bunch of scrapes and it was a beautiful track. You could follow it in the leaves all over the place.
Yeah, there is one good
there one. Is one that we've only found one real nice deer, and the rest of them are all just average small or whatever, and just nothing to pay attention to. And the other thing is, like, they're just getting started cutting in a couple of spots up where we are, you know, the last day or two there. They're just, the bunchers in there working pretty hard today and whatnot, but when we were down south of here, you know, last couple days before this, and we're circling around and looking stuff over, and I just barely got done saying hunt skid trails, and I walk up the skid trail, and I go around the corner probably 300 or 400 yards from where I filmed that, and just as I'm coming around a corner, and I've got some M&Ms in my in my hand, and I look down the road, and there goes a bear right across the road, and, you know, good size bear, 130 to 50 pounder probably, you know, just good size average bear. And I got the camera on just as quick as I could, and the bear was gone, but I kept filming just in case some cubs would come across or something, but there was nothing else there. And then I kind of started looking up a little bit in the direction of where the bear had just come from, and there's a huge hemlock tree. And I said, oh, I bet that bear was in that hemlock tree. And he spotted me before I started around the corner and climbed down out of the tree and took off running.
Them things are on it, aren't they?
Yeah. And I wonder how much they do that. So as I'm starting to walk down to where the bear is, there's an old snow machine trail 4x4 post standing on the side of the road with no signs on it. But the bears have been using it as a... They're biting it and using it as a scratching post.
Huh.
And they chewed 1.5-inch chunks off the side of that 4x4 and took these great big chunks. And it's the whole thing's just covered with bite marks from a bear right up to 6 feet. You know, I don't think I could have bit the spots the bear was reaching.
Oh, yeah. So
good one. There's some pretty tall bears kicking
around. Pretty good one.
Oh, yeah. And of course the trees are all beat up and there's nests in the beaches everywhere. And there's a fair number of shells all over the place. So I got a feeling that, you know, there's probably a few nuts here and there that they might be picking up, but I haven't seen where bears have been digging in the beaches to get the nuts or any of that. They haven't been doing that at all.
Nope.
No sign of that at all. So that should be pretty much ending. The bears will be going to bed here right off the bat.
Me and Keith saw one of those kind of like bear posts that bears were really working over in Maine there, and it was covered in fluff. You could tell they were like, after they would bite it up and scratch and break pieces off, they were like scratching on it and rubbing on it, kind of like what moose do. Yep. You know, if there's a tree that's bent over in like a skid trail or something, they'll like walk up and kind of use it to scratch and itch, and you'll see their fluff stuck in it. You know, and bears do. Bears are freaking smart, and they're on it. And they leave a streak of fire through the woods when they see you. They get out of Dodge.
Yeah, they don't want to really do. No, they can't stand to be. Even if they're up in a tree with a bunch of dogs and you start approaching the tree and they see people coming, they'll come down out and fight the dogs and take off.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get away from you. They do not like be around people. Yeah. And it's so cool to get them on film. And when you do get them on film, it's really great. And I was really hoping to do that, but I didn't make it.
Yeah, they're tough. They're on it. You know, but although you did... You and Jimmy did get another predator on film that I was stoked about.
Yep.
You never do that.
Yeah, we got a coyote on film. That was pretty good.
We started up the road, and he was in a corner as we were driving up the road. And he was in a corner, and he saw us and just jumped up in the woods, and then he didn't go anywhere. And by then, you know, I've got the camera, and I handed it to Jimmy. He was on the driver's side, and Jimmy started filming him a little bit. And then he moved, but he didn't move that far. And I thought, well, maybe there's something wrong with him. Since when does a coyote just stand around a vehicle?
Yeah. You know?
And it was probably a young one, but he looked real good. Tail was good and everything.
Yep.
And we got him on film as best we could. And then I just grabbed the camera and jumped out and started up the road on foot, you know, just kind of following him and trying to get shots. And Jimmy hopped out and come walking up through and he's trying to point it out, and I'm filming it, and it's just jumping around in the brush. You guys will see the footage of it, the better clips of it. And, geez, we got, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes of that thing.
Yeah, he was must have been feeding on beech nuts because he kept picking something off the ground.
Yeah, in the film, he was kind of just sticking his nose in the leaves, and he was chewing. He was eating,
definitely eating something he was picking off the ground.
Yeah, picking it up, and you'd watch
him. I'm sure they do. Like, everything. Bears eat them. Everything eats beech nuts down this way. So definitely. It's like, you know.
And I wouldn't doubt, but maybe they eat some maple seeds, too. Maple seeds were coming down today. Like the helicopters.
Yeah.
And I know chipmunks just absolutely love maple seeds, and they'll make huge piles of them. And if you pick one open and it's got some green on the inside of it, and I don't know how edible they are for people, you know, but
I'm sure
you could eat some. Yeah. Right.
Probably not worth doing, but.
Right. But, you know, they might even eat those things. I know that striped maple are another seed that everything wants to eat.
Huh.
And there was a whole bunch of digging underneath a huge striped maple that had a ton of seeds on it. And those seeds are gigantic. And they were all over underneath. And I looked up. I saw all this digging around the bottom of like a 4-inch striped maple today. And then I looked up and it was covered with seeds. And obviously something was going after those. And probably
maybe that's what he was eating.
Could be. I don't know. He was just beech nuts would be a better target for him, that's for sure.
There's definitely a lot of beeches there, so
yeah, this whole area is just loaded with them. They all have that beech bark disease.
Yeah, they don't look real good.
No, the small trees are really, really peppered up bad.
Yeah,
and quite a few of them are dying and are about to die, you know. Yeah. Some of the older ones are still hanging in there, but that was really great footage. He popped back out on the road, and he was a couple 300 yards up the road there, and he was doing the same thing, going up the side of the road and picking and then eat and look back at us. And we pulled up a little farther and got him a couple more times. And then I got to thinking, you know, if there's something wrong with him and I'm chasing him on foot. And I thought, I'm thinking to myself, maybe if there's something wrong with him and I'm chasing after him and he's only 30, 40 yards away, you know, if all of a sudden he had rabies or something and came over and decided to bite me. And I was thinking that to myself, and I said, you know, I had to tell Jimmy to grab his gun. And I look back, and Jimmy's got his gun, and I'm like, oh, attaboy. And he's following me up through the bushes. And then I thought, well, maybe I ought to shoot it. And And I just kept filming. I said, well, I'll just film it. And if he shoots it, he shoots it. Yeah. Right? And then
I would have thought about it a couple times, but he wasn't mangy or nothing, and thought, well,
how often?
You don't get a very good, how often do you get chance to film them? So
yeah,
I'll let you film them.
Yeah.
It would have flattened
pretty
him,
cool.
Though.
Oh, yeah. That freaking. Yeah, Jimmy would have smoked him. Big kapow.
And it'd probably be a few people mad that we didn't or something. But
oh, I'm sure there will be. But
he
whatever. Right. And it was like, a young one, young pup.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm going to have to mount it if I shoot it. <And it's> like,
yeah, I would definitely. He was good looking.
And we were at camp for a while, so.
Yeah. He's a pretty one, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're so hard to film. You know, they get any sticks in between you and the camera, and the coyote just blends in so well. The camera is like, you have to put it in manual and like actually focus it in, because that, you know, that autofocus just doesn't see them because that camo is so good. They blend in so well. And being so short and the woods have like little humps and bumps everywhere, they just like move sideways a little bit and they're in a hole and they're just like gone.
Yeah.
They can just slither right out and you know, it's amazing to watch them work.
Yeah, it's almost like a dolphin, you know, it goes underwater. Well, that's what a coyote does. Yeah. It falls in these little holes, and it's gone. Then it's back up, and it's gone. It's back up, and they, like, pop up and pop down. And a couple times on the film there, when he just stood there looking at us and he stopped moving, he was, like, gone.
Yeah.
And then while we're watching it, all of a sudden he moved a little bit, and you say, oh, there he is. You were staring right at him. It's just, I can see why deer are so scared of him.
Yeah, you think the deer are probably so jumpy. With bears and coyotes and all that, all in that one area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some predators.
You know, and you can see, you know, that's why they're probably out in the open.
Yep.
Because, you know, everything blends in, and they just, it's safer if they just lay in the wide open hardwoods and don't get down in the junk.
Yep.
It's probably why they are, you know, and it's not like it's not real hot. You know, one of the things that, you know, the reasons why we did what we did last year and we went up into higher elevation or down in the swamp was because it was so warm. You know, the deer weren't going to be in cuts when it's 70 degrees. They're going to go someplace a little bit cooler. You know, and right now, you know, it's mid-30s, low 40s. And them out in the sunshine, that's no big deal for them. You know, it's not like they're burning up.
Right.
So they're just staying out in the open where it's safe, where they can see, and they're just laying in the sunshine. And, you know, that seems to be the trend. Yeah, and I bet the predators are adding to that.
That's what the ones are doing today. They were out in right out in wide open sunshine in hardwoods.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The other thing too is like right after we had all the rain on Monday, and then it went cold and clear after that, and we go out to the truck and we try and fire it up, and of course the fan won't work. And I'm like, what is the matter with that thing? Must be that mouse nest or whatever was in there moved a little bit. So we thaw the truck out and just go hunting, just go and don't worry about the fan. And then in the evening we stop into the parts store and we grab a 7mm socket to unhook it, and we get the cover off the bottom after we YouTubed it. We get the cover off the bottom. We see that it's supposed to be 7mm to pull the fan out, the fan motor out, and of course it's not. It's Torx screws. So now I got to have a Torx, right? So next morning, you know, next day, we go down, buy the Torx, come back, and we finally get that fan out of there laying on the back, and you're swearing and hollering, and
like
you can't reach, and you can't see anything, and you go through 14 lights. And
some of that didn't make it into the video.
Oh, man. And it's cold out there, right? And it's in the evening, it's after dark, and you're trying to fix a damn thing. And we finally get that thing out of there, and you look up inside there, and there's there's the mouse, and it looks like he's super pissed. And of course, it was wet and cold, and the doors were frozen, you know, shut, because it went from rain right to 20 degrees, so everything was like, you needed a screwdriver, you know, I had to Lee Libby it, right? Pop the door open to get inside of there, and then here's this, you know, this wet mouse that ends up frozen. And of course, his hands are reaching out like he's holding on to the fan itself. We turn the fan on and all it does is hum, right? So we're like, you open that thing up and you say, oh man, look at this, and we film it, of course, and the thing is frozen there. And
he's like, I gotta have the camera.
Yeah, because look at this thing, and he's up inside there holding our fan for us, frozen.
Oh boy,
right.
So we got him cleaned out and fixed the truck, and now everything's running fine. But it's just been one thing after another this week, you know.
Yeah, you'll have that.
But
yeah, that was a little bit of an adventure. Finally got that straightened out. You had to go down and have your contacts checked out and stuff.
Yeah, so I had my eyes checked, so now I've had bad vision my whole life, but I didn't know it. Now I can see really well. It's nice.
So that'll help.
So yeah, I got contacts I'm dealing with, but I'm getting used to that.
Yeah.
Because I had glasses. They were going to give me, I was wearing glasses for like editing and doing stuff like that at night. You know, and then deer season was coming up, and, you know, I've been hunting with Jimmy for a really long time, and one of the things I always remember him talking about was, like, how much it kind of sucks to hunt with glasses in the rain, and when it's foggy, and when it's misty, because all the water pools up on your lenses and stuff, and I was like, I really don't want to deal with that, you know, and I'd asked them, I was like, is this something that I could, you know, potentially get contacts for, and they're like, well, it's not like I'm not nearsighted or farsighted, I just have an astigmatism, so it's like, I just have a slight difference in the lens, and that affects everything. So once you correct that, I can see up close, I can see far away, everything's, you know, fantastic. So like, yeah, lenses are like perfect for you, you know, so that way I wouldn't have to wear actual glasses.
Right.
Yep, you're lucky.
Yeah. So
and you had to go through quite a rigmarole to get new glasses for yourself, didn't
you? It's a process.
Oh, last year.
Yeah.
I know. My old eye doctor retired and had to go to a new place, and had a hard time getting glasses I could see out of.
Yeah.
Never had that problem before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a deal when you can't see.
My sight's gone bad. My, like, it's blurry way out there in the brush. I don't see through the brush anymore.
Yeah, the range probably lost some. Yeah, it's one of those things. And as you get older, of course, you have the up close problem.
Yep.
And then there's almost like a little bit of a double image kind of thing that settle in with that too. And I've been pounding in the shop so much and wearing glasses so much that it's nice to actually not wear them anymore. And I've gotten some of my long distance stuff back a little bit and get those muscles
you
back
do,
in
you
gear.
You do have to train your vision. You know, it's one of the things that, like, I've noticed.
I'm willing to bet if you went and had your eyes tested, you might need contacts too.
I wouldn't doubt
seriously,
it.
Seriously, I bet
you'd probably
you and
be
I,
like Taylor is like,
you
holy
and I
crap,
probably,
I can see.
Yeah. You and I probably have the same kind of thing going, but it just might be different, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you had them checked, they'd probably be like, oh, this is exactly what you need. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's amazing the difference. You know, it's like you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought that was normal, you know. And then I kind of start explaining what things look like, and people are like, no,
that's
nope,
not cool.
Wrong. You know, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Right. You know, and actually one of the things, this happened to me, right, and I was telling Ryan about it, and we're in the chip truck, we're headed to work, we're going to a job, and I was telling Ryan, I was like, it's amazing. I was like, you know, they make these little things that, because Ryan has some hearing troubles, and I was like, they make these little, like, amplifier things that you put in your ears, and they actually makes things louder, but they also, when you have, like, a big bang, it suppresses it, you know. I was like, I saw an ad for those years ago about that, and I was like, they're made for hunting and stuff, you should try them out. So Ryan's like, oh yeah, maybe I'll do that. And then like 2 days later, he shows up and he's got these things in his ears, and he's like, I can hear everything. like the same reaction.
Oh, maybe,
that I had.
Maybe I gotta try those,
you know what I mean? Yeah. And I actually put them in, and they're pretty good. It makes things a little tinnier. Maybe I'll have him do a video about them or whatever. It's interesting, you know. And it does, it amplifies things a lot. It makes everything, like, it sounds like you just turn the volume up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it is way tinnier. It's not like it's really good,
right?
But they do work, and he was kind of having the same reaction. You know, he's like, I always knew I didn't hear great. He's like, but I didn't realize how much I didn't know I was missing. You know, and it's like, as soon as I put those glasses on, I was just like, gah, and I'm driving down the road, and now I can see individual leaves on trees, and I never could do that. I could just see leaves on a tree, and everything, the world was just soft, is all, because there was that double image, you know, and everything's soft. And as soon as it's sharpened up, it's like, man, there's the woods now have half the sticks they did before. So now I'm like, these woods are empty. I'm like, I can see everything. And now Ryan's like, I can hear everything. You know?
Yeah, the depth is much better.
It is. You know, it's amazing. If you can get any, like, I don't like having to depend on anything. I'm one of those people, like, I don't really like having to do that. But it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm after the result, you know, as much. And, you know, it is tough. It's tough having glasses. Mm-hmm. It is just a little bit like keeping them clean, and it's just like scope on your rifle. It's like keeping it clean, keeping it clear, just taking care of stuff. It just adds one more thing that you kind of have to do. But
welcome to my world.
Yeah,
for sure.
But the benefit you can see. So
no, definitely.
So whatever. But we've been dealing with that. So I miss that day. And then you guys found the big buck while I was down there getting that done.
Yep. And today we shot back up there and just kind of tried to finish the scouting around where we think he was hanging out and look for him some more. And we found a couple of directions that seemed to be a little bit better, but that was at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's the thing up here. You spend, you know, a lot of time. There's that 80% of the woods with nothing in it.
Yep. Sifting.
Yeah. And it's just so much dirt to work over to find where you need to be or, you know, what's going on right now. It doesn't mean it'd be that way in a little while, but man, you got to walk a lot just to find out what the deal is, and you got to turn over a lot of dirt.
And then you find something at the end, and it's like, well, time to go. We'll just log that in for next time.
Right.
Because the one thing I would be actually pretty interested in doing is if this area gets snow and we come back for the end of New Hampshire Rifle, mm-hmm. I'd be interested in doing that, because we would at least be able to put the knowledge that we're learning in the first week to use and then pair that with snow. And when that's after they're moving, we would find the truth out and see if it really is a good area and what's actually kicking around.
Because
mm-hmm. we could probably get him.
Also, too, like, if you'll find out if your prediction was right, and it'll justify, you know, whether you were right or wrong.
Yeah.
And sometimes it shows you how you're wrong a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And what you think is the deal a lot of times isn't.
Yeah.
And it's not that big a deal, but it's almost, snow is almost like cheating. It's so good.
In a way it is, yeah.
It makes a huge, huge difference. Number one, the visibility. Number two, the history.
Yep.
You learn the history.
And you don't even need the history.
Yep. And when you find a track or you jump one, you can at least follow them and see if it's something you want.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, you can look at the track and see how big it is or whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
Whole bunch of stuff.
What did we have? We had somebody that commented something that was about tracking, and they were like, there's no way that you could just find a track and just go to get that deer. You know, somebody from somewhere was like, that's not a thing. And I was like, what? That's the entire basis of like New England and northern hunting. Yeah, people do it every day. I was like, this is so regular.
Thousands of people track deer and kill them
every year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people that tell themselves they can't.
Yeah.
You know, good thing the world weren't built with people that can't.
Yeah. There's some truth right there.
There's some words of wisdom.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing that so many people have never heard, you know, even though the amount of content that goes out, the amount of people that are doing channels that put out videos and pictures and tell stories about tracking and all that like, so many people have no idea that this is something that we do every year, that like mm-hmm. tracking is just normal for this part of the world. That's just how you do it. You know,
it's the fastest, easiest, best way,
because you don't have to do this. You know, you don't have to beat mm-hmm. around and work hard and put out cameras and prep and do all and sit there and wait. And you just feel like, oh, that looks good. Oh, it's pretty fresh. Yeah. And walk out.
Well, it's not going to happen every time, but the odds of it coming into fruition, and at least, even if say you're a good still hunter, and now you're still hunting along a track, you're going to be, what, 5, 6, 7 times more likely to run into something than if you just blindly went out and sat somewhere?
Oh, easily. Easily more.
Oh,
plus,
my God.
Plus, what you gain out of doing it is so much more.
The scouting.
You learn the area. You learn the woods. You're like, you're getting into shape. There's like so many like almost like side effect or side benefits of tracking that you just don't get any other way. You know, you just don't.
The deer is your guide.
I just can't wait to do it. I can't wait till we get snow.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's going to be fun.
And, you know, it is what it is. You do the best, and if the snow doesn't show up for the rest of the year, well, that's the way it goes.
Whatever.
Yeah, you're just going to have to roll with the punches.
We've prepped for that. Yeah. We've talked about it a bunch. It's like, what if there's a year where we don't get any snow? I was like, well, you're going to get really good at working the land bare ground.
Yeah. And it is what it is.
Yeah, it is. No worries.
And then there was the excitement of today.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Why don't you ask me? Huh? Ask me my excitement.
What happened today? Well, the ground's a little slippery because of all the rain. I've slipped quite a bit myself.
Oh, boy. So, anyway, so they dropped me off, and I'm sniffing around, just checking out the land, just doing what they were doing, still hunting and peeking. It was pushing like 3 o'clock or so, and a couple hours left of the day. I was like, well, I've already kind of figured this block, and I think I should go down in the greenery across the ridge. And there's kind of this, there's a logging road that runs up the top just on the west side. And I was like, well, I'll go across that and then down in, and I'll swing back up north and then east, because that's where the suburban is. And I'll just end up there at the end of the day. Cause Jimmy's like, are you going to come back, or are we going to need to pick you up somewhere? I was like, no, I'll loop back around. So I get up to the top of the hill, and you know, I'm just doing my thing. I walk. I was like, oh, there's a logging road, and there's a little ditch that goes from there's a bank, and it goes down in, and then you pop out in the road. Well, I start down the bank, and there's a log that's probably like a 3-4 inch log that was like going in the same direction that I was, but a little bit off to the side. And I stepped on that, and 1 foot went down. And I went to get my other foot underneath me, and then that one hit and slipped too, and I fell straight down and snapped Dad's muzzleloader stock right in two. Yep. Oh, my God. And then I land on the log with cameras in my back, and I go bang, and I land. I'm like, oh. So I get up, and I'm like, I look, and everything's, you know, I feel my back, and everything's okay. And I get up onto the road, I look down, I look at the muzzleloader, and the stock is just flopping around. And I'm like, oh, I used some choice words.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I was so pissed. You know what I mean? Because it's like, Dad just lent me this, like, what, $900,000 muzzleloader. It's his dad's Woodsman arm. I've been, oh, man. Oh, I was so mad. And I was so bummed. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, dude, at the end of the day, I'm like, what the hell is happening? I'm just having a week. You know what I mean? I was just about ready to, I about lost it. And I started up the road. I'm kind of shaking it off. I'm talking to the camera. And I'm like, there's a chunk missing. So I turn around. I go back to the ditch. I put the camera down. I was like, well, I might as well show the camera what I did, right? So I'm like, I just broke Dad's muzzleloader. I find this 3 by 1.5 inch piece, and I pick it up, and I put it in my pocket, and I was like, oh, crap. And then, I was just, you know what I mean? Like
right where the rear stock meets the receiver. And, of course, there's a big bolt.
It's a big, like, kind of, like, rod. Big bolt rod that runs through the whole thing. And it's just sitting there just swiveling on it. And, look, it's upside. The stock is, like, upside down. The grip's pointed straight up, kicked off to the side. And I was like, what the hell? And I'm like, you know, well, I guess I'm not going down in there, because what am I going to do? Walk down there with this nunchuck of a muzzleloader I got. So I start back up the road. I was like, well, I'll head to the suburban. I get in the suburban. I was like, I'll fly the drone out and film the trees and stuff a little bit, film the mountains and just hang out. And I see Cocoa Puff coming down the road about half an hour later.
Yep.
And I'm like, Jimmy gets here. He's like, hey, you know.
He shows me that gun, and I'm like, ruh-roh.
he's like, you know, your dad would have just whittled something out and put a new one right back on there. I was like, yeah, he probably would. And I was like, I knew, Dad's not going to be, like, he's not going to be pissed or anything. You know what I mean? But I just felt bad. You know what I mean? You're using somebody's gun and you break it in half. It's like, oh, my God.
I got to say, I've never seen that before.
And I, like, the strangest thing is, like, I must have just landed on it, like, just right. Because it didn't land, like, real hard. I just, like, slid and went bang and fell backwards. I didn't slam down on it. I just kind of hit it just right, and it just pivoted just right underneath my elbow. And, you know, I had it tucked in, and I think having it tucked in, and when I fell back and I didn't get time to, like bring the gun out in front of my body. So I just kind of fell back on the stock and it rolled a little bit and just pop and So I was
You hit it the same way the grain went or something and it just broke it.
And it's pretty thin right there. There's not a great lot to it.
It narrows down when you get to the grip there. It narrows down quite a bit. Right. It's not real thick. Yeah. Maybe 3/4 of an inch.
Oh yeah. So when you take it out and you show it to Jimmy, the look on his face.
Gonna be a good video.
Oh, it's gonna be a great.
It's gonna be a good video.
I've never seen that before.
Because I knew something was up. You guys pull up to me and Taylor gets out and he starts walking around. I thought, oh, you got a shed? You want to show me? And then he's like, no. And then Jimmy says, how do you like the muzzleloader you're carrying? and I've got my I've got a Thompson Center Impact.
Yeah.
And I love that
gun. Really nice
one. I've had that gun for a long time.
Don't let me use it.
Yeah, keep your hands off that. And that's a pretty good gun. I've always liked it. And the Woodsman's a good gun too, but
it is.
It just like, and I knew something was up. Jimmy's like, how do you like the gun you're using? Why do I only have one now?
And we're like, kinda. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
You can be cameraman tomorrow.
Yep, I am. I was texting Neil Pendleton, and he was like, "He's like, how's it going, man?" He just shot a corker. Shot a beautiful buck.
It's a big one.
Nice one, 230 plus. Real nice buck. And he's like, how's it going for you? And I was like, I'm having a fucking week. And he's like, oh, yeah? And I was like, yeah, I just broke my dad's gun in half. And he's like,
oh, no.
And I was like, no, not lightning. I was like, if I broke dad's rifle in half, I would just quit. I was like, I'd get him a new one. I'd just be done. I'd be beside myself more so than I already am. But
your body would be messed up if you broke that thing.
No, you would have to. That thing is rugged.
You'd have to hit that with a sledgehammer to break that thing.
That composite stock's, that's rough. Yeah. That thing's tough.
Yeah, if that was a composite stock, you wouldn't have broke it today.
If it was the Omega, if it was that muzzleloader that you gave me.
Or the laminated stock, right?
It
would have been quite a bit stronger.
That thing's like a 2x4. I would have had a broken arm if I landed on that thing.
Yeah,
that's a stout little gun.
Yeah. We've all slipped and fell and hit our guns. Yeah. Just never had that happen.
Nope.
And it's bound to sooner or later, especially in this boulder pile. Yeah. New Hampshire is a giant granite boulder pile.
It's hard walking where we are.
So it's giant grout pile everywhere of loose rock everywhere, and you're just going to be either slipping on moss or slipping on the rock itself. It's amazing how much rock there is here.
But that kind of wrapped up today's excitement. That was the end of today. We got one more day. So today's Friday. We got Saturday. It keeps going. Right. I think the actual season goes till Wednesday.
Yeah, we can hunt Sunday before we pack up and move. Yeah.
So we'll probably do Saturday and then maybe a half day on Sunday and then pack up and head up to Maine. Ryan's Beeb's going to be up there.
Yep.
So he'll be there Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Be good to see Beeb.
Yeah, it is. He's awesome. He's doing great.
And it'll be good to be home.
Yeah. But we're enjoying it. I'm having a good time despite everything that's going on. I'm still having a good time. We're making it work. We're just trying to kick up a nice deer, trying to see if we can find something. I'm sure we can come into it. We're gonna get something here in the face in the next day and a half or so. We're gonna get something happening. Jimmy's been the closest so far.
Yep.
Big old freaking deer whistling up on the hill running away from you.
I don't know.
That could have been him.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
But I didn't see no head, so.
Yeah, hard to tell. But
it is what it is.
Yeah, it's the challenge of this time of year.
It is.
Yep.
New spot, no snow.
You never know. All you got to do is bump into something.
It happens all the time for dad. You're
just in the right spot. Yep. Just got to be in the right spot, right time. And
you got to be Rodney. And it don't. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Rodney seems to do it more than the rest of us.
But. Yeah.
When one guy can do, another man can do.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Hope you guys are having a great season. Hope you're having a lot of fun. Hoping you're taking the time to get out in the woods and enjoy yourself. And congrats to everyone. Congrats to Neil and all the other guys who are putting them down and got some nice bucks. And Timmy's son shot his first deer this year, which is pretty cool. That was very exciting.
That's awesome.
Because I called him. He was the first one to know that I broke your muzzleloader. I called him instantly. I left me, you know, it ring and gets to his voicemail. I was like, Timmy just broke dad's muzzleloader in half. I'm going to need a new stock. I was like, you got to. So I called him right up. And we're going to see if I can buy a new stock over there and get that thing fixed. And he was telling me about his son got a deer. And it's a good deal. Hey, first deer is a big deal. It's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
I like seeing all the younger kids get deer.
Yeah. Yep. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've been doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them shot some nice ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's been a couple bucks that we've seen pictures of that are just, like, unbelievable, like, world record challenging stuff.
Yeah, Kentucky and other Texas. Places. Yeah, Texas. They've killed some really big super monsters that are just, like, you know, if I was Milo Hansen, I'd be a little worried somebody was going to top my world record.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's possible.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of these deer are pushing that.
There are people that are dedicated.
Yeah.
And they're really sifting the land over. They're going to find it. Every record's meant to be broken at some point.
When you get into a wild deer that makes 200 inches,
that is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's world class, you know. Yep. And it could be like any minute that somebody just takes a world record and it could happen.
Yep.
And I would expect it.
Oh, yeah, it should, you know.
Somewhere along the line here, but around here, man, 100 inches, boy, we'd be happy.
Yeah. I know, I was... somebody commented on something. It was they're like, big buck, that looks like 120 something inches, and I was like, yeah.
For around here,
I was like, yeah, 120 inch around here. I was like, 130, 140, 150 is like a
super deer,
super deer for around here.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, hey, any deer around here is a good deer, so we call them all big bucks.
That's right. And some of them small ones have been pretty famous.
Yeah. Beavis shot some of the most famous spike horns in history. Yes.
And he'll do it again.
And he'll do it again. He don't care. That's right. I was talking to him, you know, because I told Ryan, I was like, you know, one of the things I admire about you is that, you know, one year you can shoot a 225 and then go right back out the next year, shoot like 140 pound four pointer, and you're still exactly the same, just as happy as you were when you shot 200. I was like, I think that's really cool. It's really genuine.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone deserves a good spike horn or a good 200, it's Beef.
Yep.
He's pretty awesome.
And he's been killing them.
And you want to surround you want to hunt with people who are excited for you and excited no matter what, you know, and that value the deer. Because, you know, it's like, apparently to that guy, 120 class deer is not a good one, but you know, anyone who shoots 120 class deer is getting a high five and help dragging from us for sure.
I'll take it every year for the rest of my life. Won't bother me none.
Seriously, I'll put those on the wall and sit there and eat the rest of it.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Thanks for tuning in from here from New Hampshire with Coco Puff and the Rodman. We're going to go out there and give her everything we got for the next day and a half or so, and then we're going to be heading off to Maine.
Hopefully we'll make something happen.
Yep, I think so. You are. You've been right in the thick of it. It's coming for you, Jim. You're going to shoot it. Hopefully Coco Puff shoots his giant this year.
That's the plan.
You can shoot this one right out here. Go ahead.
I dare him.
I dare you.
Shoot it.
You've been known to shoot a big one in New Hampshire.
Yeah. He's actually the New Hampshire record holder out of all of us.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he shot the biggest one in New Hampshire. Perfect timing.
Yep.
That was a good one.
199.
Yeah, that's a big.
That's because dad took the other pound off.
Yeah, that was a hell of a deal.
Maybe we'll do that story next time on the podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you have any suggestions, comments, you can always hook up with us on the podcast email or socials. Everything's linked down below. And, you know, got videos and stuff coming out for the rest of the season and beyond. So.
Yep.
Stay tuned for everything we got going on, and if you guys end up getting a deer or anything like that, tag us in it. We love to see everybody going out there having a good time, having some success. That's what it's all about.
Definitely.
If you guys enjoy this podcast, please give it a review and give us a rating and share it with anyone else you think would find it valuable. We'd really appreciate it. Help everyone else have a better time in the woods and put a good buck in the freezer for them.
Have a few laughs.
That's right. And have a good time.
Yeah.
All right, everybody from New Hampshire. Signing out.
Happy hunting.
Take care. Thanks for watching, listening, and subscribing, and all you people that are just really so dedicated to us. It's humbling, and I appreciate it.
Yep, definitely.
Yep. Take care.
Happy.
See ya.